help you. That's what I'm here for. I really want to help you.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, with a very interesting letter to read to you today from a high school student who had read my book called Passion and Purity. This week's subjects under discussion might be called unpopular opinions. Dorothy Sayers wrote a book with that title, Unpopular Opinions. Some of you will switch me off fast, but some will wonder what sort of program you've stumbled upon, and you might want to hear more. All the opinions which have elicited this week's letters have caused annoyance one way or the other. I do have a way of causing annoyances in my listeners and my readers. And usually, it's not merely because of an Elizabeth Elliot opinion. Sometimes it's because of an Elizabeth Elliot tone of voice or something that was entirely out of place. But I think most of the flack I get is because I just tell you what God says about things, with no emendations or redactations or footnotes or ifs, ands, or buts. This is what the Bible says. In Dorothy Sayers' introduction to her book called Unpopular Opinions, she says, "I have not tried to bring my opinions up to date." Well, neither have I. I guess probably you've noticed that by now. She says, "Indeed, the papers called Christian Morality, Forgiveness, and Living to Work were so unpopular with the persons who commissioned them that they were suppressed before they appeared. The first, because the magazine that commissioned it feared that its readers would be shocked by what they understood of it. The second, because what the editor of a respectable newspaper wanted and got was Christian sanction for undying hatred against the enemy. The third, originally intended for a Sunday evening BBC postscript on the heterogeneous grounds that it appeared to have political tendencies and that, quote, our public do not want to be admonished by a woman." I suppose that that is pretty much true of the radio listening public in America as well. Who wants to be admonished by a woman? I've been accused by more than one person as being very out of date. One reporter accused me of being Victorian, but the truth is, as you have gathered, I'm much worse than that. My opinions are much older than that. Would you like to hear what a high school student thought of the notion of sexual abstinence? There's a Christian school in which there is a teacher, a male teacher, who requires that his high school students read my book, Passion and Purity, which is the love story of Jim Elliot and me, a book that outlines, I think, pretty clearly principles of sexual purity and what it means exactly to bring your love life, your sexual desire, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Back in February and March, you heard me speaking on the subject of sexual purity under the heading of Lent. It's one aspect of Lenten discipline, but certainly it ought not to be limited only to Lent. I hope none of my listeners got that idea, that sexual purity is fine for 6 weeks, but forget about it the rest of the year. No, the scripture is crystal clear that sexual activity is confined to marriage, period, case closed. Well, this is an interesting letter from this student, and the teacher's wife sent it to me. She said, "As I've read through the papers, what worries me is all the regrets expressed by these Christian school students at such a young age. Many say they wished they had read your book much earlier." Well, isn't that tragic if they've already given away their virginity to the wrong person? But this is what a high school student says. Elizabeth Elliot must have been considered very prudish, stuck up, quite different, and a few more things throughout high school and college. If a person approached me and asked if I believed it was possible to have a 5.5-year relationship without ever kissing, I would laugh. In fact, I would fall on the floor laughing. 5.5 minutes? Sure. 5.5 days? Possibly. 5.5 weeks? I doubt it. But 5.5 years? In this respect, passion and purity is a very different, but somehow refreshing, look at relationships. For in this book is a story of complete denial of the perverse society and quite possibly the only woman ever to accomplish any feat of this nature. And the professor has written in the margin, "Now come on." He knows I'm not the only woman ever to accomplish a feat of this nature. The student goes on, "While reading Passion and Purity, my emotions switched back and forth from enjoying her rebelliousness against society, while pledging complete allegiance for God, to strongly disliking the woman. After all, who is she to tell me that the way I do things is wrong and she's right?" Mrs. Elliot's straightforward, unbending views of relationships at first was very unappealing. I felt at least she can compromise and give us a new or different alternative. Instead, I felt like I was up against a brick wall. Any of you listeners ever felt as if you're up against a brick wall when you turn on Gateway to Joy? The more I punched, the more my blood showed that I had sinned very badly in past attempts at relationships. And this woman had not, so she really was in a position to fudge. I began to admire her, her boldness, and her conviction. She did not budge throughout the book. I truly expected her to decide later in the book that kissing and holding hands was fine. Due to the wickedness of today's society, after all, the TV bends, magazines bend, hey, even the church bends somewhat to keep up with society. But Elizabeth Elliot did not, and because of that, she finally won my support and admiration. Mrs. Elliot's story is very different from most love stories. I feel now that the others are not love, but lust stories. I think Elizabeth Elliot's commitment to Jim was fantastic. To keep someone at arm's length that you feel so deeply about as she felt towards Jim showed an unbelievable commitment to God and his will being done. I think that things went well for Mrs. Elliot and Jim because they put God first in all things. I like to think that I've come a long way in my Christianity the last few months, but I feel so dirty when I think that Elizabeth Elliot was willing, as a college student, no less, to lead a celibate life, if that's what God wanted. The thought of leading a celibate life for me is very bad, is extremely bad. I'm not willing to give up a wife if God were to ask me to. I realize that sounds bad, but I can't lie. I also felt that the author's way of explaining virginity and the loss thereof was very good. I agree with her that it is more attractive from a material standpoint to marry a virgin. I would much rather have a wife that on our marriage bed had saved something for me alone instead of giving it to every average Joe that asked for it, because then it would be special. I think it's possible to link today's high divorce rate with Americans' freedom of sex. Obviously, if a man marries a woman and both had an active sex life, then what difference did being married make? God meant sex to be saved, and when it is, it bonds the couple. But when sex has been degraded, as it has been, it loses the touch. That's really sad. Elizabeth Elliot also made certain points about equal rights of women. I had to crack a smile on that one. Finally, a woman that hasn't lost her senses. I think that 50% of the women who open their mouths about equal rights don't know what they're talking about, or they're just protesting to appear cool. I'm pleasantly surprised to hear a woman be proud of her femininity. For me, to have a person stand so firm is very encouraging. Although most of my friends are not Christians, and although I was raised in a Christian home, I wasn't much of one myself. I have always admired people that take a stand for their beliefs. That's why doing studies on people like Solzhenitsyn and Mrs. Elliot, my, that's a nice company to be put into, isn't it? That's my parenthesis there, have been good for me, says this high school boy. Elizabeth Elliot is correct. She has prospered due to her faith in God. Also, her way is the right way. Not the only way, but the truly right way. After contemplating on this style of a love life, I can't help but hear the words, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now that's the end of the quotation from this rather remarkable letter from a high school student whose Christian teacher assigned my book, Passion and Purity, and assigned a paper on that book. He was honest, wasn't he? I mean, he didn't really like it, and he said so. But somehow or other, the truth of the story convinced him. And the story is there in intimate detail, believe me. I had to put more intimate details in there and more intimate quotations from Jim Elliot's diaries and letters, his love letters to me, than I was comfortable with. Why did I do that? Why expose myself and put these unpopular opinions on paper? Well, because I love young people. Because I deplore the tragedies of sexual sin. I deplore the divorce rate. I deplore the confusion of newly married couples who have had what they call an active sex life. And I want to help you. That's what I'm here for. I really want to help you. And the only way I can do that is not by holding up myself as an example, but by pointing to the example of Jesus Christ and by reminding you there is a Savior, and obedience to Him is your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.